Praise the Lord. How you all doing? Really? Let me start again. I am very aware that there's something that is brewing that we need to land over this conference time, and I am waiting. I have a job to do, and I will only administrate it when I know the platform and the thing is ready to be administrated. And so I'm just waiting. And if anybody's ever been around me, you'll know that I'll wait. And if it don't happen, then I'll still continue to wait. And I don't care if it waits another year, I'll just wait. But I really don't think so. I am still very also aware of the three kings that have been walking around the nations and the earth just looking to see if there would be a group of people in faith believing. And it's not only faith that believes, but it's your position that you take in that realm that really helps some of the stuff precipitate and unlock. One of the struggles we have is we still are earthbound. We are still here trying to get there. And unfortunately, the church has taught us that. Now, I feel like I'm speaking somewhere funny. Has somebody been adjusting my sound system? Sound all good? Okay. What was I talking about? Oh, sorry. Part of our problem is that we've been taught that heaven is out there somewhere and that we're on earth and we've got to get into heaven. And so we look up to try and go somewhere, not realizing that we are already there, when we should be looking down, trying to figure out how to get back down here. If you got that one, your life would change. So I'll say it for you again, because some of you are looking at me like, you have this goldfish. They get up to the edge of the glass and they go. They don't really know what on earth they're doing, except they're looking at you the other side of a cage. It's like you guys are looking at me the other side of a cage. But I'm not the one with the bars in front of me. See, what the church has taught us is to be in a cage. It's called a religious system. And if you believe you come from monkeys, or praise the Lord, you know how it goes anyway. And so, but I know that the religious system has propagated the belief deep in the intrinsic part of who we are as a human being, that you are not allowed in heaven until you die. That you're not allowed to go into the world of God and participate functionally with that realm until you die. It's woven into all of us. And so what happens when people like Justy and I get up and we start teaching about stuff is you get all excited, and then I got sunburned last night. And so you get all excited, and then you end up in a mess, because you're still looking to try and get there. Yeah. It's true. True story about being sunburned too, by the way. Yeah. I mean, walkabouts last night and got a bit burnt. And anyway, and so I thought it would be really good for me to just kind of unwrap a bit more of what Justy was talking about before we untether, because you've got to know where you're going to. So, are we going to heaven?
Yes.
Well, where's that? You know, so we go like this, you know. Floating out in space. Somewhere beyond where no man has been before. Is a realm called heaven. It doesn't go, beam me up, Scotty. So I'll draw all of his face shortly. And so it's a real shame these are whiteboard markers. I have got four, though. Kind of figure that one in each year. No, anyway. And so what I thought I would do is pick up some issues of creation that we've got to get to grips with, because when God says come up here, we've got to figure out what come up here means. And so I kind of did this in Scotland, and so I'm going to kind of pull a bit of it out here too, because I just think that it's important for you and I to get to grips with some of this stuff. I don't know about you, but I really love what God's doing, I just really appreciate the way that God has laid things out structurally for us, so that from the chaos and the tether in this world, we can still get revelation about His world and then begin to engage it by faith. So even though we are still messed up in this arena, and we're still getting sunstroke and cancer, and we're still getting dumbed by the moon, if you think they don't affect you, get a life. The only way they'll stop affecting you is if you're not on the earth anymore and you're positioned in heaven above them. Can Justin try to explain that to you this morning, this afternoon, very succinctly? And so the Bible says this, in the beginning. So I love Genesis. I've got stuck in it for about a long time, too many years now. And so in the beginning, so we go, in the beginning. And we forget about it. Because we can't explain it, what in the beginning is. Do you know what the word in means? In. It means in that very point where there was no end. And so in the beginning, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and was darkness was upon the face of the deep. So there's actually two creations right there. But anyway, let's not go there. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, so God goes, ta-da. Well, it's a bit, got some red dots on it. So let's just pretend that these are all wiped off. Okay, so there's no red dots in here. God goes, let there be light. So out of that, in the beginning, because the beginning has to start somewhere. And so all of this was in itself. That's why God. So all of this was there. But it all came out of that. So God said, let there be light. And there was light. Just in case you didn't understand. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided light from darkness. Wait. He just said, let there be light. So how can light have darkness? One will not be being confused with light and dark. Light and dark are the same thing. So let's just put a line down here, and we call this dark, and we call this day. Because they're both the same. Because that was in that, and that was in that. So when God said, let there be light, so let's just read this through, and then we'll go through and engage with some of this stuff. And God said, and called the evening the morning, there was the first day, and God called a light day, and the darkness He called night. There's a revelation for you. Was night and darkness corrupt? So there's good darkness? I think so. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So we're now in light, because the function of light is to store record. Without light, there is no visible record. See, everything God does from this point onwards is done in light, because there's a record of it. If it was in darkness, there would be no record of it, because you can't see any record in darkness. Right? So in the light, there was water. And then what God did is God said, let the firmament form out of the water. That just happens to be 350 billion light years across. Lots, anyway. Let the firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the water which was under the firmament from that which was above the firmament. So now what we've got, God is dividing, this is the under, and this is the upper. So in the middle of all of this, God's created a firmament. It says, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So was earth heaven? I think so. Is all of creation heaven? I think so. So why have we relegated earth out of heaven? So that we can frame ourselves out of heaven so that we can justify our behavior. Because we want the separation from God.
No, don't be telling me this is heaven.
And so Jesus comes along and goes, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know what that means? It's close to you as your hand is where the air is between you, your hand and your face. And so the realm of God is not out there somewhere separated by another heaven that's not even in the Bible. Because you do, we call the second heaven. It's not in the Bible. I can't find it. I've looked at every Greek and Hebrew word and can't find it. It's a doctrine of man, actually, to justify their desire to stay on the earth because they're too afraid of going into another realm. Then teachings on it, get the CD. And so, God creates all this and calls it all heaven. Right? Now, and of course, on this little piece of dirt, in this realm, he creates, of course, the sons of God. And it says there, you know, he let us make man in our own image, blah, 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 blah. And he goes through all the days of creation and then says to man and frames all the animals and in the creation here and says to them, go and do all this and multiply. And he frames the sons of God and puts them on the earth and says, go forth and multiply. And so you have 7 days. 7 days of creation. So it must be only 7,000 years. Can't find that in the Bible either. Because you're coming from a Greek perspective that goes something like this. 1 day in the house of God is like 1,000 years elsewhere. So when God's talking about a day, he must be talking about 1,000 years. So we form a doctrine about it. Whereas to Hebrew, a day is a dispensational period of time that can be anything from 2 seconds to 25 billion years. Better to understand the Hebrew culture before we try and do theologies about stuff. And then it says this weird thing. So God's gone through creation, right? He's made it all, right? So the very first scripture, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Let's go into Genesis 2. And then it says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of all of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all these works which he made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in that he had rested from all these works which God had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Let's just get the sequence right. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth. In the day, God made the earth and the heavens. So actually, there's 8 days to creation. It's in your Bible. God creates in 7 days, heavens and the earth. And in the day, he resets the earth and the heavens, because something happened in between here. Oh, and this just happens to be something like, I don't know, maybe 349,993,000 years. Do you realize how long it takes for created light to shine where it never had to shine before? Because here was creative light. Just forget my line down here for the moment. This is creative light. We're now living in the realm of created light. Wow. Two completely different realms. All right, so one realm. Created light, a whole lot of people here. God made he, them, male and female, and told them to go and reproduce. Multiply. And then God makes and resets it in created light and makes Adam out of the dust of the earth. It's in your Bible. Made he, them, male and female, sons of God, and then he makes Adam another son of God, but this time out of the dust of the record of the earth that was poured out from his glory. Two totally different people. So you've got all these multiplying in creative light, and in created light that has no reference for creative light, you've now got a whole lot of other beings multiplying called the sons of Adam. So when God is going to call the sons to come from a far land, so we have some magi that came, Not three wise men. That's a demonic interpretation. So whatever the Bible says, it's not three wise men. Magi. Magi, you know what the word magi means? Magician. It means they were weird and they did weird stuff. It's just because they happened to follow a star that no one else could see, coming from a land beyond the land of Shur. That's where the sea was. So they came out of water. Perhaps from another created realm, through a gate that happened to be here, walking into this, following the manifestation of the Son of God into the realm of creation. There wasn't three of them either, by the way. That's another demonic interpretation, I mean. And so, this whole process is, I find, fascinating, because, let's just go, what I'm really, really interested in there just happens to be four gates that sit on here. There just happens to be a flow and a wind that blows through these four gates. And when the wind blows through those four gates, it creates four spirits of heaven. That also happen to be called the four corners of the earth. That also just happen to be called... It's all in your Bible. If there's a gate, then a gate's made to go through. So Jesus just happens to come to the earth and go, boom! You're all awake, praise the Lord. And so, he just happens to come through into the earth realm, which is kind of sitting three-dimensionally out here somewhere. So your little picture I drew with heavens and earth would just... shifted out here. So we now got that little green stuff sitting here with earth and heavens, and it's going, but this realm is still a mystery. Right? So the Bible says this, God is going to give us the secrets of darkness. Do you know what darkness means? It means there's no record of it because no one has seen it before. Which means no man has gone there before. Well, wandered. E knocked. I'm planning on Ian knocked. I've been in there once. I nearly didn't come back. I'm serious. Somebody said to me, can you describe that? Well, yeah, sort of. If you were to take the earth... everything that you've ever known from the very beginning, put it in a blender, put some water in it and mix it up and take a piece out and explain it. Well, that's how I can explain it. Because there's no reference for it, because we have not been there, because it's in darkness, which means it's a mystery that God has kept. When Daniel had a whole lot of scrolls come to him, when he saw a whole lot of stuff, Daniel... was in this area here. That's why God said, I think we'll seal that scroll up because the scroll is now a record in light. God said, I think we'll seal that scroll up until the end. Why? Because our position, when we get untethered out of all of this, is into the mysteries of God. And the issue is, do we want to go there? Because what happens if suddenly... you can't come back. Are you prepared to not come back? Some of us are, but are you really? We all go, yes, 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 but you know the cares of this world does stuff to your heart. And so what Jesus done is we're now positioned in heaven with God. Okay, because he's somewhere, well, somewhere, you know, wherever you want to put him. I'm serious. Because he's everywhere. In light. He's got a throne that's seated somewhere in the middle of all of this. Because he's the Lord of all creation. And it's through him that everything's framed. And so what God has done here is God has given us the capacity in Jesus Christ actually to untether ourselves from this small little thing here called creation. Where we just happen to live on one of the 900 billion galaxies that they've now mapped in creation to the edge of what they believe is creation, where the light is now moving from the Big Bang, that they've been able to map some of that. And even that looks really weird because it looks like gas. Anyway, and so in this little spiral arm of one of the galaxies, there happens to be a place called Earth. They just happen to be connected to a place called Eden, that when Adam sinned, the Earth was put in and into time and space. And so in the middle of all of this, God created time and space and stuck the Earth into it. It's all still part of heaven. But what began in that record time was the process of the record of creation. We haven't even gone outside of our little universe yet. If our God holds that in the palm of his hand, how big do you think he is? It's only 350 billion light years across. It's quite a few. And so what God is looking for here is our repositioning. What Jesus has done for us has given us the ability to live in the mysteries of God. Oh, Jesus. How are you all doing? I'm like a fish out of water. God has given us the ability to live in this realm here. Because our job is to make the mysteries of God known in our day to all of creation. Amen. Our job is not to live in the knowledge of what we have. Our job is to live in the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Somebody finally traded. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, give me the mysteries. Yeah, and so Jesus has positioned us in here. Now, do you realize that on the 20th of December 2012, that a complete new dispensational period of time began? Every calendar that was ever written, every seer from every race, creed, religion, demon, Nephilim seed, only saw to the end of 20th of December 2012. They were unable to see beyond that point because it was the concluding of an age and a beginning of a complete new one. In the new age, let's take it back, shall we? In the new age, I'm going to become a mystery. Well, you all will be if you engage this stuff. And so in this new age, what God's desire is we learn how to live out of what is not seen. If you learn how to live out of what's seen, means this: you don't know it all. Because the Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard of the things that God has in store for them that love him. So it means that all your theology doesn't mean a hill of beans. The only thing that matters is who you are in God. Amen. And your connection to him intrinsically in your relationship, in the realm of intimacy that you build with him. And so God unlocks all this. He's given us the promises of the mystery, which means that you can see into them. which means that you're going to have insider trading information that no one has seen before, which means that everything in the past will not be able to be carried over into what is now happening. Do you realize the church has a hag attached to her leg? It's called religion. Jussie does a really good example of this. You're walking along and you're trying to drag the hag into the mysteries of God. It's really hard when she pulls you under the water. Usually it's drowning in your own stuff. So what God wants us to be is untethered, because our position is not only here, but it's in all of that. So let's just say, you know, this is, you know, how many billion light years across? Well, let's just say there's a little one sitting here. God wants to make that known so that the light will increase. Until there is no more darkness. I'm trying to go slow. I'm like Jussie now. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Get on and get squashed like a bug. It's true. Because what God's doing is you'll either move with the throne or the throne will roll right over the top of you. The clouds are moving and God wants us in the mysteries. Part of our problem is that we are tethered to the earth. We are locked into the earth and we're stuck there. We try and go, ha! You know, a funny thing, we used to, you know, when we were young, we didn't have television, all right, and we lived in Africa. And in Africa, you have blowflies about that size. I mean, they're rather big. And we had these things that they called a horse blowfly, and I'm serious, it was about that size. Like, it flies along and it goes, bah! You know, it's like a bumblebee, but it's a fly. It's a huge sucker. And so, well, literally, and so, we used to catch them because we didn't have television. We used to find amusement for ourselves and we used to make our own stuff. And so what we did was we would get silkworm thread and we tie 5 or 6 strands of silkworm thread together because it's really light. It's about this long. We catch a blowfly and then we would tie the silkworm thread around its thorax. And then we would go down the street and they'd be walking their dogs and we'd be walking our blowfly. You know, it's really funny the things that we do when the kids, but it's amazing how similar it is to us today. Because we are tied to the sound of the voice of the earth because we were born in her. We didn't come from her, we were born into her, and we walk around being tethered to the earth, unable to move because of the fear of what will happen to our body. The greatest fear a man has is being shut outside of his body. True. True story. That's why the occult world, when they go do astral travel, are so concerned about having their silver cord cut. As a believer, we don't need one. Jesus never had one. Because he exited his body, and his body never corrupted. So that means even though I wasn't breathing for 3 days, it didn't come to death. Because what was in his body was now glory. That's why when Doubting Thomas, you know Doubting Thomas? Some of you have heard me talk about it in Scotland and in Wales. Doubting Thomas put the only disciple to put his hand into the side of Jesus. Not on the outside to touch the outside of the fleshy woundy. Jesus said, here is a side, put your hand into it. You know what into means? Into. Means it goes, sorry. goes into. And so it's like this process that we need to see what Jesus has done for us is this realm has an immense power in it that can free you from corruption of the earth, because the earth has no record there. Which means that your body, when it goes there, can put on incorruption, because that's what the Bible says, that corruption will put on incorruption. So it's really great to go there by faith with your spirit man and grab hold of all that goes there. But actually, there must come a time when you untether yourself and engage with your body and take your body into the world of God. Because it's only when that happens that your DNA is going to begin to be untethered and unhinged from this nice little capacitor twist that makes it function with electricity. The reason our body moves with electricity is because it doesn't have the glory in it. We met this young guy in New Zealand. His name's Mark. And he came along to a conference we did in Auckland. And he's actually a preacher, but and got 7 kids and married now. He just happened to be cycling down a hill and didn't see a ladder on the back of a car that was sticking out. And the leg went straight through his head, through here, right into his skull. And then when he fell on the floor, the car behind him thought it was just a bag on the road and ran over his head with a ladder in it. Yeah. They did some tests and they said he'd be a vegetable and that he wouldn't be able to communicate and, you know, do all of those things. He doesn't have any brain waves. Zero. Yet he preaches. And he got married. And he has 7 children. He said he came awake. I think it was in the ambulance. He came awake in the ambulance and the ladder was still inside his head. No pain. And he says that he thinks out of his heart. He says it's like electricity flowing continually inside his body. His spirit man is making his body function. He was sitting inside the service. He goes completely white and stops breathing for 20 minutes. True story, he sat next to him. Then he goes, and carries on worshiping. He just happened to not be here. Did his body corrupt? No. Why? Because he's living out of the source of a different realm. They put titanium inside his head and they've had scientists trying to track him down because he's an anomaly. God always has forerunners, you know. So even when you're brainless, you can still live. Are you guys getting this yet? Yes. See, when Jesus left his body, he exited it for the purpose of revealing resurrection. Jesus exited his body for the sole purpose to reveal resurrection. So when Jesus passed into another realm, the fullness of who he was there kept his body alive down here because they were both in light. Because what had happened is his body had become light. Did he still have the flesh on the outside? Mm-hmm. Could the inside corrupt? Do you realize that when somebody does, I got a friend of mine who's a mortician and they, you know, I talk to them a little bit about stuff because they're really weird. They've got a weird sense of humor. And I said to him, you know what, when a body first dies, what's the first thing you do? He says, well, we have to drain all the blood out because it's the blood that causes the body to corrode and corrupt. You know, when they pierced Jesus' side, there was blood and water that came out. Blood and water can only flow inside a human vein if the human heart is ruptured. because that's when your blood separates into water and red blood corpuscles. Anyway, and so what Jesus did for us was gave us the ability and the capacity to be untethered and to still be alive on earth when we're in the realm of heaven. Because our body is also in heaven, because God called all the earth also heaven. So actually, we're not separated from ourselves, because we're all in heaven. Yeah. Did you get that? And so let me talk about the tethers. This is where I wanted to get to in the last session, but when Justin finished. Let's talk about the tethers. There is a vibrational frequency that is on the earth. They have done experiments where they take people and they put them into an underground bunker that has insulating and insulation around it so that the vibration of the earth does not penetrate. The megahertz of the vibration of what the earth vibrates at does not penetrate through this chamber. They put them inside there, and within one day they were suicidal and depressed. Within the next day they were curled up in a fetal position on the floor just wanting to die. Then what they started doing was starting introducing 30 second bursts every half an hour of the vibrational frequency of what the earth is. They started releasing it into the chamber, and within half an hour, and when the first burst, the half an hour, the guy had come alive again and felt like eating. We don't realize the power that the earth has over the DNA of man, because we're born into subjection to the chaos that is in creation. And what those tethers do is they keep us tethered and locked into the sound, and our soul and body knows that if it's not in that sound anymore, it's going to die to the influence of the world. Isn't that really what God wants for us? Isn't it amazing? The very thing we want to do, we don't really want to do either. That's why it's so hard for people to disengage and to ascend into the realm of the presence of God. It's because of that tether. And that tether is connected directly into the current of your DNA. So your body electrically functions out of the connection from the earth into your body. It actually comes up the back of your spinal column. It sits inside the vibrational frequency of your nervous system. So your nervous system is continually vibrating with the sound of your tethering to the earth. And so, some of these questions are this: if we unplug it, what is going to happen to us? I've got some good news for you. I'm still here. Everyone that has untethered it and unplugged that thing from their life have found that the supernatural world begins to unlock easier for them. Because we're not bound to being in the sound of chaos. The sun shall not smite us by day, nor the moon by night, because the Lord shall preserve us from all evil. He shall preserve our going in and our coming forth from this day forward, even forevermore. And some of you guys are half asleep, and that's all good. Praise the Lord. I do have a bottle of water. I can wake you up. So I really need you to open your eyes, because I know you're not praying, because there's no dancing fire in your head. So praise the Lord. Anyway, and so we've got to untether from the earth. Up our spinal column. Now you won't find this in Scripture. In every vertebrae of your spinal column, you have something that's called a spine that sticks out physically in your spinal column. Those spines also carry a triggered system that's connected to the vibrational frequency of the earth. And so, you ever get goosebumps for no reason? It's because something's going on around you that's of a different frequency than what your body's used to, and it goes whoo, over your back. Do you realize that can trigger you by low frequency towers? They can trigger you emotionally. That's why they're putting them all around your nation. It's so they can trigger you. If you have the source of connection to it, it will be able to trigger you. what happens if we untethered from it? There's two more. In fact, there's four more. Two more will go into the center of your eyeballs. So it controls how you see. Because you're tethered to the earth and you feed through that frequency into your brain all the time. The other two go into your ears. It's called a deaf and dumb spirit, actually. Blind that you can't see, deaf that you can't hear. Having a hardened heart. Don't become stiff-necked. I mean, the Bible's full of these weird things. But because nobody explains it to you, you don't understand what's going on. And so these things we've got to be untethered from. Now, this does take faith because you're having to believe what I'm saying is true. First of all. Now, I don't mind if you don't engage. Like, that's praise the Lord. Bless you. And that's great. But we are going to do some stuff very shortly that I'm going to need your participation in. So at that stage, if you don't want to do this, that's really great. Please feel free to not participate. You can go to the back and sit there and watch us all do it. And then we all turn to you and we start praying for you. No, not really. Because what I want us to do is I want us to work in pairs. And we've done this at some of the meetings in a more secret way because people are going to take this stuff and they're going to go, show me it in the Bible. Well, I can't. I'm just telling you, this is what I've had to do to be untethered from the sound of the influence of the earth on my nervous system and into my physical form that's connected to my soul, that shuts my soul down from being connected to my spirit man properly in the right way, because my soul is busy interfacing with my body instead of interfacing with my spirit man properly.